Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Just give us a moment. Hey, it's good to see everybody. I hope you're doing well. And I'm so happy to be here with all of you. A couple of logistics and housekeeping things before we jump into our work for today. The first is I need to end our call about 3 minutes early today. I usually go at least the time or even a little bit over, but today I'm going to have to end just a few minutes before 2 Eastern. We will get done everything we need to accomplish. And if there are any leftover questions at the end of the call, I will make sure to get to them over Facebook or next week. The other thing I wanted to mention, and Caitlin also wanted me to share this with all of you, is that our small group sessions, the small group discussions, are continuing to go strong. They're meeting every other week. And it is just a reminder for you that you can jump in anytime if you are wanting to go deeper with any of the material that we're covering here in our training calls. Those small group discussion sessions are really valuable if you know that you learn well by discussing what you're learning. That's a way of integrating. So research has shown that the way that humans learn best isn't just by listening, but it's by discussing. That's why we have shares in our calls, and I ask you so many journaling questions as well. It's like your own inner discussion. But what I love about the small discussion groups is that I give a lot of different case study questions in there for you to ponder. It's all targeted week by week to what we're looking at. I know that sometimes it can feel a little intimidating to come to a discussion if maybe you're not sure of yourself or your ideas. But as I'm sure you can imagine, the space is very safe and all points of view are always welcome. On a related note, just a reminder for all of us for our training calls, whenever I ask for shares, I want to hear from you, whether you have 20 plus years of experience or you are just starting to do the work. Your voice is important. Okay, so that's the small groups. You can jump in at any time. I know Caitlin would love to have you. And then the last housekeeping piece I wanted to mention, you'll get a couple of emails about this probably in the next week or two, starting in the next week or two. But I wanted to tell you now, in case you wanted to save the date, on December 5th, which is a Tuesday, it happens to be a Tuesday that we don't have a training call. At noon Eastern, I'm going to be hosting for us a special next steps call where I'm going to be sharing about how we can continue our work together after Sacred Depths. A number of you have already been asking. I can't believe we're almost at the end of the program. But there is more work that we can do together if you want in advanced depth. It's where we go deeper into transformational skills, we do powerful shadow work, archetype work, dream work, impulse work. And it's much more intimate as well. So I'll be sharing about all of that on December 5th. You'll get an invitation, but if you want to save that date, that'll be at noon Eastern. Okay, so all that being said, let's jump into our topic for today, which is about creating accountability. We're going to be looking at some specific tools and techniques and structures that we can use to support our clients in being more accountable to what they really want to create. And at the get-go, I just want to say that the topic of accountability isn't always very sexy. It's kind of the resilience work, but it is very, very important. And my hope is that today's training will kind of help you think about accountability in some new and different ways. It's also a great call where we're going to be synthesizing some things that we have already been learning, because we actually have already been learning a lot about accountability. Okay, so let's start here with just what is accountability. And for the sake of our call today, here's how I'm going to define it for us. Accountability is taking action or following through on the inner and outer tasks that you've committed to. Taking action or following through on the inner and outer tasks that you've committed to. Let me put that in the chat. Sounds easy, right? And the thing is, sometimes it is, especially if you've set up for accountability ahead of time. And you know, we'll talk about all of that. We do follow through on a lot of our commitments, right? But that being said, I'm sure we also all know, oh, whoops, I just did something to my notes. Hold on a second. We also all know that being accountable to our commitments is sometimes not as easy as it sounds. And not only just because of fears or limiting thought patterns, which we've been looking at, but also because oftentimes the commitments that get articulated through coaching, it requires our clients to do something differently than they've done before. If it was just about them doing what they've already been doing, they wouldn't need our help, right? And doing something differently requires effort. So all that being said, what is our role as practitioners in client accountability? Because I think that's another important piece for us to explore. What's our role in this? So let me toss this to you and try it on for size and see if it resonates. I believe that a practitioner's role or responsibility is not to make a client accountable or accountable to them, to the coach. Instead, I believe that our responsibility is to support our clients in becoming more accountable to themselves versus us, and also to support our clients to learn how, in general, to become more accountable in all the areas of their lives. Because being or becoming accountable it's a process of becoming. It's building a muscle. Now, maybe the most important thing that I will share today is what I'm going to say next. We can't make our clients do anything. Period. End of story. It doesn't matter how masterful we are. It doesn't matter how magical we are. We can't make it happen. And I share this with people as early as sales conversations. I am not there to make it happen for them, and I can't. And just so you know, in case you've been judging yourself as a practitioner, I have certainly had some clients over the years who were not accountable to themselves on certain goals. And with those clients, we looked at every fear and every shadow and every limiting belief and every habit and everything under the sun. And I don't think that it's because anything went wrong. Those particular clients in those moments, they either weren't ready or they didn't really want it. And I know for certain, because they have told me, that the work that we did together was still, by and large, a huge success to them and valuable to them, because they transformed through the work. They came to understand and know themselves better than before. They came to accept themselves in new ways. They accomplished other things, right? But it just was not the right time for them to accomplish certain things. Also, I've had my fair share of clients who have become accountable and taken action and made beautiful progress towards their goals, but they've done it slowly. Didn't happen right away. They weren't accountable right away in the first session or the second session. And that's because some of their stuff had been ingrained since childhood. Or because while we were working together, a major event happened in their life, and it was more important for them to turn towards that. Going slower is not a failure. I'm going to say that again. Going slower is not a failure. It's usually called how real change happens. So I want to invite you to think about throwing away the notion right now that you're some kind of godlike figure that can will your clients to do things. It's not going to serve you. It's not going to serve them. Of course, we want to use all of our tools to co-create accountability, to leave no stone unturned, you know, to support our clients to move at a pace that is optimal for them. But at the end of the day, it's really not up to us. And one thing that I often say, I may have shared this with you already, but even if I did, I'll share it again. What I often say, and I learned this from my first coach, is that as a practitioner, I can tell you about the river. I can tell you where the river is. I can help you find directions to how to get to the river. I can walk with you as you go to the river. When you get to the riverbanks, I can help you figure out how to cross the river. I can even hold your hand as you cross. But what I cannot do is put you on my shoulders and take you across the river. Right. Okay, so let me pause on all of that. What's sparking for you so far? What's feeling important so far? I'd love to hear a share or two. Hulda.
I love this all so much because I mean, I can feel how as a coach, like when I sense like that the client is doing their thing and like that they said that they were going to do, especially on the session, like when it feels like it's really sinking in and they're like, got it and going to do the thing. And then that feels, great. And then when they don't do the thing, I'm like, oh man, you know, and it's like, what did I miss? What didn't I do? So I'm appreciating, that it's not mine to carry on my shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really not. Just like we can take credit for supporting clients when they get things done, but not take credit for like them getting it done. Same on the flip side, right? And it's so important to remember that. Good. All right, let's keep on going. So as always, before we get to outer pieces, I want to kind of unpack a couple of more inner pieces around accountability. Some kind of mindset and energetic pieces that we want to approach accountability with. So first thing, I kind of just mentioned it, but I want to say it again really explicitly because a lot of practitioners get this wrong. Don't make your client results or action taking about you. And don't make your client results or action taking for you. There are a lot of wounds that people carry around this from the ways that their parents approached accountability. A lot of parents do both of these things. They make their kids' results about them, and they kind of ask their kids to do things for them, right? My child's accomplishment or lack of accomplishment is a reflection on me. Oh, just do your homework for me. I'll be so proud of you if you do. If we bring this into the container that it's about us or it's for us, remember, energy follows energy. A client is going to sense this. And if that client has had this experience in other places in their life of somebody else making it about them or for them, when you as the practitioner do it, it will either trigger your client to rebel or to vehemently not take the action or to take the action, but to take it from a misaligned place or a place of guilt or feeling oppressed because they have to. For some people, clients, accountability in general can be really triggering because at some point in their lives, they were shamed around not being accountable by parents, by teachers, by employers, etc. In other words, and maybe you know this for yourself, they experienced a power over accountability structure. A power over accountability structure where the parent, the teacher, the employer, whatever it is, felt that they were higher than, better than, took power over in order for the client to accomplish something, right? Or maybe it was a punitive accountability structure. You are going to have a consequence, right? If you don't clean your room, you're going to be punished in some way if you don't do your homework. And not just a natural consequence of not doing well in the class, right? But at home, punished in some way. So it, for us as Sacred Depths practitioners, we really believe that our jobs are not only to support our clients to become more accountable to themselves so that they can get done what they want to get done, but I also really feel that part of our role is to help our clients change their internal oppressive accountability structures from power over to empowered together. From power over to empowered together. And part of that is also helping our clients build ownership around their goals, right? It, again, it's not about us, it's not for us, but it's about supporting our clients to build ownership around the actions that they want to take. Does this make sense so far? Okay, I'm going to ask one question and then I'll open up again for some thoughts and shares because I think this is really big stuff. Take a moment and define ownership for yourself, ownership of goals or actions. What is that? Maria is saying personal responsibility. Yes. Integrity, Nisha is saying yes. What else? How else are you defining it? Self-encouragement to take action. Yes, I love each of these. Self-confidence. Beautiful. I do it because I say so. Yes. Okay, so just in terms of this power over piece and this ownership piece, what Bree is saying, it's my choice, it's my own choice and opportunity, yes. So a couple things just for us to be conscious of. Number one, be conscious and aware of how you talk about accountability with your clients. And what archetype are you showing up as? A lot of times, if we're not aware of it, if we haven't done our own work on it, we might show up in that archetype of the parent, the not ideal parent, right? We spoke about some of this in terms of when we looked at energetics too, right? What archetypes do we show up as? So we want to make sure that we're showing up with maybe in that moment, the client needs ideal mother energy or ideal father energy, or maybe fierce warrior energy, or right, something else, but how are we talking about it? We also want to be conscious of our filters when it comes to accountability. For example, you might be a get it done person. You have a plan and you get it done. But maybe that's not how your client operates, right? They operate in a different way. And we also want to remember, we looked at this way back in strategizing. Accountability needs to be measured based on the who, not on the what, including the different rhythms that people have. So remember, we spoke about consistent doers, deep thinkers and processors, tipping pointers, doers that need lots of breaks, right? We want to know what's this client's natural pace of getting things done. Okay, let me pause here for a moment. What's sparking for you around this idea of not making results about us or for us, and then these learned accountability structures in terms of power over or punitive? And if you don't have any shares yet, I've got some journaling questions. Kristen.
Hi. So what keeps coming to mind is like what this is like for a neurodivergent person. Mm-hmm. Like most people with ADHD, for example, are going to have a very, very long history of intense frustration and probably shame around not being able to get stuff done. Because of their executive functioning challenges. And there's just a lot of shame around that because we live in a world that people expect that you're going to be able to do things that you want to do. And it doesn't always work with our brains. And then there's also a factor called persistent demand avoidance, which it's this thing where basically you push against whatever somebody's proposing to you.
Yes, exactly.
Even towards yourself.
Yes.
So it's extra spicy and challenging with those of us who are neurodivergent with this.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're bringing that into the conversation. And I think the concepts all still apply, right? We want to help them understand those internal structures so that they can have more compassion towards themselves. We want to help them understand what their natural rhythm is, you know, how the best ways for them to get done. And we want to check our filters. I give a small example of this that I think might be helpful for everyone. You just reminded me of this. Actually just happened a few weeks ago. I wasn't coaching, but I was emailing back and forth with a friend and colleague of mine. And we were having a conversation and then we emailed afterwards. Anyway, she wanted my advice because she was thinking of bringing on a business partner for her business. And because I wasn't in coaching mode, I quick went to like look at her numbers and, you know, and it didn't make sense for her to take someone on to share the profit. And I was just thinking she just needs to like do this a little more and that a little more. And I was kind of telling her all of that. And then the email came a few days later and she's like, you know, I so appreciated what you shared, Joanna, but I realized because I'm neurodivergent, the idea of bringing on a business partner is actually exactly what I need to not feel so much pressure and to help get more things done. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't check my filters on that. And I was like recreating, right, so much of what she had already experienced. So anyway, I share all of this, number one, to say like, no myth of perfection ever on anything. We can always course correct. And it is so with all things, as well as accountability, it's so important to check our filters and not just think, oh, how I operate is how this person operates. Thanks, Kristen. Bruce.
Yeah, what was coming up for, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Funny what was coming up for me from my perspective, and this is where I might be a little loose with my clients, but maybe that's okay too, is that I was never held accountable for anything. Like, I had free reign. I was the youngest of six. Nobody was there, you know, to say, hey, you should be doing this or that. So my rebel comes up when somebody's asking me to do something. And I want to do things in my own time, what feels right for me and what my system, what feels safe. Because I can very easily get overwhelmed with things. So I need to take them in small steps. And people that have been traumatized, or all the things you talked about too, Joanna, I feel like either they go to one extreme or the other, they have that rigid way that I have to do this, I've got to get this done, or they go to that chaotic state where it's like, there's too much going on, blah, blah, you know, and it just becomes overwhelming. So understanding exactly what you're saying and just knowing where your client's coming from, which we can't always do, you know, if we haven't been with a client for a long time, but it's just something that was coming up for me. It's like that awareness is so important, just to know, you know, and like I think you said, which helped a lot again, is always pre-framing the stuff, right? Like, are you going to do this work? You know, just getting to know, you know, where does this fall for you as a client? Yes. You know, it's really important. So thank you for just reinforcing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thanks for that share. And that is another great example for sure. All right, so let's keep on going. And let me ask you a couple of questions about you. First one, on a scale of 1 to 5, how accountable are you to your goals and actions when you don't have outside help, when it's just you and yourself? And if it's helpful to break this down into categories, maybe you're more accountable with your yoga practice than with your newsletter, whatever, I'll give you a half a minute to just kind of assess a little bit for yourself. So when you don't have outside help, scale of 1 to 5, how accountable are you? Ooh, Jessica's a 4. That's good. All right, next question. When you do have outside support, and this can include friends, family members, reminders, alarms, different kinds of apps, coaches, right? Any kind of outside support, on a scale of 1 to 5, how accountable are you to the actions that you want to take? And Tanya's saying something very interesting and poignant in the chat. If it's something accountability to yourself or for you, it's a 1. If it's for other people, it's a 4 or 5. I'm definitely higher 2 when it comes to other people. All right, here's another question to think about. Growing up, or even, you know, into your first job, you know, when any time in your formative years, how were you held accountable? Whether it was to homework, to cleaning up, to being kind or nice to guests. I was held accountable to practice piano every day with one of those old time timers that you had to wind up and like tick, tick. I hated that timer so much. Anyway, what are some of the ways that you were held accountable? And also, as you reflect on ways that you were held accountable, think about, maybe make some notes on what worked and what didn't work. Give you another 10 seconds on this one. All right, here's another question. Whoever was helping to hold you accountable, if there was someone, could you feel their motivations behind it? And how did it feel? In other words, did it feel like a parent was going to be totally disappointed or feel bad about themselves if you didn't do well on your SATs, et cetera, right? So could you feel their motivations, and how did it feel? So many poignant shares in the chat, right? And so if we've got this stuff, our clients have some of these things rolling around. And it's so important for us to understand that as we go to support them in being more accountable to themselves. All right, one last question for now. This is a complete the sentence or complete the paragraph. I'll share it. I'll also put it in the chat and then just write for a half minute or so. I am willing to be accountable, even if it's uncomfortable, when. I'm willing to be accountable, even if it's uncomfortable, when. And just don't think too hard, just see what wants to come through as you journal on that. Take another 10 seconds with that. Okay, so we have time for a share or two. What's starting to come together for you? What's feeling important so far around this topic of accountability? And I love so many of the shares in the chat, all of them. I'm just going to read out loud this last one. Infinity shares, I care about the result. It feels aligned with who I want to be in the world. And I trust that the person holding me accountable sees my wholeness. I think that's an answer to when are you willing to be accountable? Beautiful. Anyone want to share a voice to voice? What's it, just anything that's coming through? What's clicking? Jennifer. If you're talking, you're on mute.
Did you just call on me? I'm trying to get better Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I'm coming inside. Oh, this topic. I was kind of journaling, not exactly about this topic, but it kind of parallels. I'm realizing like I have a really interesting upbringing where I was like born and bred to be an athlete in a really competitive community that produces all Americans and Olympians. And it was, yeah, it's just like, it was an incredible upbringing, but it was just riddled with perfectionism and scores and elitism. And so even when I'm doing this exercise, there's resistance. And I almost feel like in like the last maybe 5 years now or so, or I don't know, maybe even longer, it's almost like swung the other way to balance out what I experienced. Like, oh, I get to do it my way. And yeah, just so much of what those questions and what you shared is like, well, do it for me, or do it for the team, or do it for my teacher, or do it for the coach, or do it for, and like would like literally like break my body. And yeah, it's just,
it's a lot. And I'm glad you're bringing in, this is another great example, about the team and sports. You know, there is this, a different kind of power over accountability structure in there. Mm-hmm. And almost like you will be ostracized if you don't stick with the accountability that is expected, et cetera. Yeah, so it makes perfect sense. It reminds me of Bruce's share coming from a different origin, but like moving to this rebellion side because of it. Yes.
Yeah, and it has so much to do with like the timetable for me, like time frame. I appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah, the time, the rhythm, you know, we want to take that into account with our clients. Good. Anyone else want to share? We have time for one more before we keep on going. What are you starting to see, or what is feeling important? Danielle.
Hi, I'm on my phone. I'm not doing video, but I wanted to join in because this for me connects so much to the core of this approach of coaching. And I know I've shared before that I came into this first as a client. It was interesting to see, without going into detail about my past, ways of being that popped up as we got into a little more accountability, gentle, but I needed that reassurance from my coach in her own way that she could see, like just reassuring that this is about you. Like any sort of steps we're taking are going to come from your own knowing. It's going to be a vision that you feel excited about, because I was finding myself going into good student mode and having a little layer of anxiety around a visioning session, because I still was in this performative way of being of like, okay, so what is the right thing for a client to do? So she actually spoke to that and it was really beautiful and it freed up a lot. And the flip side of it is when we think of our patterns and how accountable we are to ourselves, there is this pendulum swing in my adulthood to like, oh, I'm only going to really feel that desire to be accountable when it's coming from my own deep knowing and choosing, and I have an intention around it. And then that can be tricky too. And that's why I love the coaching, because then sometimes that can be a cover for just not holding myself to a certain standard that I actually do care about. And there's always layers. And I've just experienced so much benefit from being a client of a coach. Yeah. 'Cause I'm like, I was able to get to that myself through like embodied stuff and befriending fear. It was like, this is resistance. And it's not just about, oh, I want to do my own thing now. It's actually my own self-sabotage. So it connects to everything, obviously, that we've already been talking about. Yeah. But it's so cool to have that space to work through that stuff.
Yes. I love all of this. And I know your coach is a sacred depths coach, so I'm not surprised to hear it at all. And I think it's really an important point around, you know, we don't want to use it as an excuse too of I think this idea of ownership can mean many different things. And one example I'll just share from my own life is there are plenty of things that I do, ways that I am accountable to my children, that aren't necessarily coming from my deepest desire. And those things that I'm accountable to, I am doing it for them. But it's my choice to do it for them, versus it being put on me from something outside. So there's different ways to look at this idea of ownership also. Okay, let's keep on going. And now that we kind of have this background or this kind of like the foundation of what is accountability, what is some of the human behavior involved in accountability or shying away from accountability or response or reaction to it, let's look at some tools and structures that we can put in place or use in our work with clients to support them in all of this. And as usual, because I'm a Virgo, I have divided these things into two buckets, things that we can do preemptively before someone lapses in accountability, and then things that we can do once there has been kind of a not following through on things. A lot of the preemptive tools that I'm gonna share right now are reviews of things that we've already learned, but I wanna now put them into the context of accountability. So number one, you know what? Before I go ahead, I'm so sorry, Tanya, I meant to call on you. I saw in the chat that you wanted to share, and then I got so excited about something I forgot. So before we go into the tools, Tanya, if you still wanna share, I'd love to hear from you. I haven't heard your voice in a while.
Okay, well, just kind of briefly, I just wanted to say that for me, accountability, that whenever I couldn't be accountable, like whenever I felt this huge resistance towards it, it was usually to do with something that felt like I was trying to fix myself in some way. There was something, and you were speaking to before, like, you know, is this actually colluding with this internalized conditioning that I should be a certain way? And actually, you know, my resistance to being accountable to those things were actually deeper wisdom.
Yeah.
It was something that knew that actually this is not the way that to my essence, to my core self, and to my values and what really, you know, my true why.
Yes.
And over years, I've really learned to recognize this and value this. And actually, I feel like that kind of puts me also in the position to maybe recognize this in my clients, you know, when they may be going down that route, and how I can actually, you know, maybe support them in seeing the bigger picture and seeing the wisdom. Yes. Why they may be having resistances to the accountability, and maybe this will catapult them to the deeper truth, to actually something they will be truly excited about, and they will truly, you know, move them forward, and they want to do it. So just, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that relates so much to what we were looking at. I'm glad you're bringing it into the conversation. When we looked at resistance archetypes, you know, one of the things we looked at is we want to check our filters, because the resistance might not be coming from a core fear or something like that. It might be coming from a deeply intuitive place that the client realizes, you know, no, this isn't for me, or this isn't the right moment for this. So we do always want to be checking for that when it comes to resistance and accountability, for sure. Thank you so much for sharing that. Such an important piece. Okay. So accountability tools and structures that we want to think about preemptively. And again, we've covered, I'm going to go through these a little quickly because we've covered them, or a lot of them, just not in the context of accountability necessarily. Number one, when we are supporting our clients to create goals and also to strategize on action steps, we want to be aware of the difference between a desire and a need, or and a should. Right. So, and this goes to what Tanya is saying too, because if it's a should, it's not gonna, right? So when we are doing the visioning and strategizing, asking questions like, why is this important to you? Right. What makes you happy when you think about accomplishing this? How will this be supportive of you? And if it is something that they desire, helping to stoke that desire even more. What could be fun about the process of taking action on this? What will happen for you if you take action on this or accomplish this, right? So supporting a client to really, number one, identify the true desire or need, and then stoke the desire preemptively. Another thing that can sometimes help with accountability, and again, we have to be very careful when we do this because we don't want to put anyone into a place of shame or criticizing themselves or judging themselves or, you know, anything. But sometimes helping a client really connect with why they're done acting a certain way or being in a certain situation, that can help stoke accountability, right? I'm done with not being visible in my business. I don't want to not be visible anymore. So I'm willing to make this video, etc. I'm done with being in relationships that don't support me, where I am not getting the nurturing that I deserve. And so I'm willing to be accountable, to do dating in a different way, to take this action, et cetera. Right? So sometimes asking questions like, why are you done with not taking action on this? What will things be like if you don't move forward on this? Again, we want to handle it very carefully, again, so they don't go into shame, right? But sometimes connecting with, for lack of a better word, like the pain of the current situation can help with accountability. Another thing we've already looked at is the power of celebration. And the power of celebration also can support accountability when we are strategizing with clients on action steps to celebrate how far they've already come, to help them acknowledge the strengths that they already have that are going to help them take the actions, right? To help them feel more confident that they can get it done, to see the resources they have to be able to get it done, that can help preemptively with accountability. the more that we believe, if something is truly aligned for us to do, the more that we believe that we can do it, that it's doable for us, the more likely we are to do it. So asking questions like, what are the resources that you have available to get this done? Why do you know that you can do this? What will make this easier for you to get done? What's the easiest way to do this? Right? Sometimes people overcomplicate things, and then it's hard to be accountable to that. For a lot of clients, another thing that really helps with accountability, we've looked at this also, is to clarify the task and the process at hand. What are the exact actions that you're going to take this week? How are you going to do it? When will you do it? Would you like to put it in your calendar and schedule it in? As we've looked at in lots of different ways, oftentimes breaking things down into smaller, doable chunks, right? And this is why we, if it works for you to blueprint, et cetera, and to really understand what the task is can help. We've looked extensively at supporting clients to look at their fears, their willingness to risk, to be uncomfortable, right? All of it. So all of the fear work, the belief work, the resistance work, right? All of that helps with accountability, as we know. Here's another piece that is not to be underestimated, and one of the powers that we have as practitioners. When a client knows that someone else really cares and that someone else is invested in them, again, not that it's for us or about us, but that we're in it with them, that we really care, that we're invested, sometimes that can make a huge difference, right? So oftentimes at the end of a session, I'll say to a client, will you keep me posted on this? I'm going to be thinking about you this week. I'm so excited that you're going to take that stretch and do X, Y, Z. Will you keep me posted on how it goes? I want to hear. I might sometimes say, will you let me know if you get off track? Because I'm here to support you. And sometimes I might even say, and don't tell me like 4 days after you're off track. Tell me the first day, right? I really want to hear from you. If you get off track, no big deal. We'll get you back on track. Sometimes if a client is okay with it, I'll ask them their permission beforehand. Usually, I will just go ahead and proactively check in with the client via email in the middle of the week or the 2 weeks. How are things going? I've really been thinking about you, right? So that's one of the great gifts that we get to give our clients as practitioners, that we care, that we're in it with them, that we know that they can, and we're invested in their success. Not because it makes us feel better about themselves, but because we care deeply about them. We also looked, when we looked at strategizing, just as a reminder, because this can help with accountability, we looked at creating the environment for being able to get things done. So in other words, how much time will you need for this? How can you create that time in your schedule? What do you need prepared in advance in order to get this done? who in your family needs to be on board with this, et cetera, creating that environment. I like to ask clients as early as the welcome questionnaire, how would you like for me to help hold you accountable to yourself? What are ways that works, that work? What are ways that don't work? Sometimes even in our first session, we might discuss that. So that I'm probably me and the client always learn more about that as we go along the way, right? Like more unfolds. But to just to have a baseline, sometimes a client will know themselves from the get-go. You know, I don't like it when someone is on top of me too much or whatever it is. Along those same lines, if I'm strategizing with a client and it's something stretchy for them, I might, towards the end of a session, ask the client, how would you like for me to help hold you accountable to yourself? What would you like for me to do over this next week or two? Every now and again, a client will make a request that I can't do, like, can you check in with me every day? Text, right? Like all of that. No, you know, usually it's a no, but then we'll negotiate it out and I'll tell them what is doable for me. All right, let me pause there. Oh, one other piece I just want to mention. Sometimes it can be a valuable strategy to create daily habits for things that are stretchy. So, for example, if a client has been having trouble writing they want to write a newsletter regularly, and they've tried before to write a newsletter in one sitting, and it's just like it never works. Maybe what might work for them is to write 100 words a day until they're done, or to do a 10-minute workout 3 times a week instead of a, right, I don't know, 30 or 60-minute workout, whatever it is. So sometimes people can kind of get moving and get flow if it's like little daily habits that they can do. Depends on the client. I'm writing right now, I'm doing a really big creative writing project right now. And one thing I've learned about myself is when it comes to creative writing, I can't just do a little bit of writing every day. I get so involved in it that I need big chunks of time. But then there are other things, right, where the daily habits can help. All right, let me pause here. Thoughts, what's sparking for you? What questions do you have? Victoria.
Hi. Well, the first thing I wanted to say is that I love that you brought in celebration, because I feel like accountability and celebration are so related, and that celebration is such a powerful energy to bring in. But what I really wanted to share was something that happened recently with a client, and it's right along with what you were just talking about, had to do with the client always being in a state of overwhelm and kind of working her way like around just sort of chronically overwhelmed. And then the session that she felt safe enough and opened to the idea of accountability, it was like she moved out of isolation. It was like she was shouldering all this stuff alone, and then she finally felt like safe enough ultimately to involve me in the process. And you like literally could feel her coming out of isolation. And it was like such deep work that the accountability is now a part of that deep, deeper work.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so, so beautiful. And what it makes me think about, you know, when we only lightly touched on this, but I think it's an important point. And so I want to like go deeper and underscore it, is that I quickly said before, you know, accountability, aligned accountability is power together. And oftentimes for clients, if they have been in power over accountability structures or punitive accountability, or for whatever reason, even outside of that, there becomes this kind of belief that they can hold inside of, I need to do this alone. Nobody can help me or should help me, right? All the things. And then part of the work becomes then in the container to build that trust, to work on the beliefs and the fears, but also build the trust that we're in this together. I am here to support you. This is power together when it comes to you getting things done. So that's so beautiful that that happened, Victoria. I'm so happy to hear it. And I'm so glad that you're bringing this piece into the conversation. Thank you. Anyone else want to share before we keep on going? What's coming up for you? What questions do you have? What's feeling important on some of these strategies that we've looked at? And I put them into the preemptive bucket, but they can come before and they can also come after, et cetera. Golda.
I may have missed this, but I'm wondering about a conversation with the client around like defining accountability and clarifying what their understanding of it is, because it does feel a little bit of a buzzword in the coaching spaces. So I'm just, you know, like, cause I think it, and that's why I love that you're saying like, how can I help you to be accountable to yourself? Yeah. You know, cause I think clients come in and they're like, and I know I've created this probably of like, how can I be accountable to you? Right. Like they're being, and so just to clarify that early on feels important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to share that. And sometimes it's just about sharing it and then having a conversation with it. Other times, just like all of our training calls, all of the background information that we're looking at, sometimes you want to get into that, right? You want to co-create awareness on those pieces with clients. Some of the inner work questions I asked on accountability that might be important explorations, either at the beginning of your coaching with someone or whenever it's important, but to unpack for our clients, if they need it, what this means for them. Yeah, thank you. Nisha's saying, I also see a discernment for being accountable to take action and being accountable if you caused harm. Absolutely. You see the latter talked about more in the coaching industry. Absolutely. And, you know, we looked at this a little bit in resistance archetypes when we were talking about the judge, right? Again, it comes back to checking filters. If a client is telling you you did this or whatever it is, you don't want to just say, oh, they're in resistance, right? First, you want to see, did something go wrong? Was there harm caused, right? So important. Okay. So accountability, I don't know, for lack of a better way of saying it, after non-action, right? But only if the non-action is out of sync with the client's natural rhythms, or not obviously if they had something big happen in their life and couldn't do it, right? But when they're not being accountable to themselves. So of course we can work with fears and all the tools we have for obstacles beforehand, and then also after non-action, you know, all of that. We looked at this a little bit in our visioning, but as a reminder, and this goes to Tanya's point earlier as well, sometimes it's important to have a conversation around, is this still aligned for you, right? It may have changed. This may no longer be aligned for you. This one is very simple and surface, but sometimes it's exactly what's needed. Just the simple question of, why didn't you get X done? Sometimes there's deeper obstacles, but sometimes it will literally, you know, be just such an easy shift that they can make, right? Why didn't you get X done? Sometimes, when actions don't happen, we might want to ask, do you want to adjust the task? And that might be about chunking it into something smaller or doing it a different way. There's almost always more than one way to do something. Or what do you need? What would be helpful, right? These are such simple things, but sometimes it's the simple that can help a client cross the river. What do you need? What would be helpful for you in order to get it done this week? Doesn't always have to be some deep, let's look at the fears or whatever it is. I will sometimes, if there's been a non-action for a couple of weeks, and it is clear that the client does want to take the action, and we have looked at the fears, and they just need a little more support, I will ask them, I'll usually say, I don't want to micromanage you in any way, and you are doing this for you, but if it is helpful, I would love to hold a tighter container with you over this next week or over these next days. How would it feel for you to check in with me daily as you work towards getting this done? Or if not daily, whatever is right for you, right? So in other words, I can't do this all the time every week because it would be exhausting, and it wouldn't really help the client ultimately build that bigger accountability muscle. But every now and again, just to get someone over the edge, I will, if they would like, I will hold a tighter container with them in between sessions. Sometimes having an accountability buddy or an accountability partner is really helpful. I have matched up different clients to have time. You know, they'll usually set at one time a week together, doing writing or whatever it is, and just having that space where you know you're going to show up with another person. You have one goal that you want to get done in that hour and a half, can really help. That's why in some of my group programs, I have get it done time. Like right now in life-changing courses, whenever I support people to create curriculum, for example, we have get it done. Also, in addition to training calls, we have get it done sessions every week. similarly, now this is something I don't do often, but I just want to toss it to you to have in your back pocket for moments that it might be helpful. Every now and again, if a client is just like, they're ready to do it, but they just haven't, and they need the extra nudge. If they are willing to spend the session time in this way, I give them the option, we'll do it together on the phone or on Zoom. I'm not doing it for them, but it's almost like accountability or get it done session one-on-one, right? I'm not going to do this again often because that's not really the purpose of coaching, but sometimes just to get somebody over a hump, to get them in motion is enough for them to keep on going. So, you know, one example of this is I had a client who she was so wanted to start a newsletter. It was so right for her. She was so ready. She was so ripe, but it wasn't happening. We spent a session where I started the session and I said, okay, what topic? You know, we talked for a few minutes about the topic of the newsletter article and some of the points she wanted to hit. And I hung out and for 15 minutes, she wrote. And then she came back and I said, okay, what'd you write? What'd you accomplish? How'd it go? Right? We spoke for a couple minutes and then she went back and wrote some more. We never had to do that again. It was pretty smooth sailing with consistent newsletter after that. But that first time, it just really helped. Okay, one last thing, which can be contentious. Again, nothing I ever share is the truth, but I'm just tossing it. At least with parenting, they say it's not okay. But with adults, it's different. I find it works sometimes. What's the reward, right? What are you going to do for yourself when you accomplish that? Maybe you want to buy yourself something. Maybe you want to get a pedicure, maybe whatever it is. But sometimes like, oh, it's going to be so amazing when I get this done because I'm going to allow myself to whatever that can help. Every now and again, taking a break from a commitment that's just not happening, like asking a client to forget about it for a week or two, we're not even going to focus on this. Let's reset, you know, just let it go. And then we'll see if we want to restart on this action in a few weeks. Sometimes that can be really helpful. It can act as a reset. And it can also help a client take back ownership. If it's become this thing of like, oh, I told Joanna I would do it. Oh, I told you, right? Even if I'm not making it for me, that can just sometimes happen. So sometimes taking a break on that action or that goal can help the reset and the taking back of the ownership. Okay. Thoughts, questions? Anything that wants to be said or anything that you want to add in terms of strategies? Jennifer.
Oh, it just makes me so want to re-listen to the strategies session that we did, the visioning, the strategies, strategizing.
It goes together. I like to put this call here because it's like a good, right? Learning is cyclical. It's a good review of some of the pieces, but absolutely there's so much in those trainings to them.
Yeah. And just how well this goes with the topic of self.
Yeah.
Sabotage. There's that, like all of it, obviously. I just want to really.
Good. Who else? What's coming up? What do you want to share? What are some other accountability strategies that you've found helpful? Victoria.
feel like what was coming up for me when I was just listening and pondering was like how working with accountability really does help a client see what their self-talk sounds like. Mm-hmm. You know, like just thinking about working with it and, you know, how hard are they on themselves, or how, you know, what grace do they allow, or if it's always their fault, or, you know, whatever it is, it really does help shine a light there in that spot of self-talk and how they feel or how they treat themselves.
Absolutely. And it's an opportunity to shift that. You know, the related to what you're saying, what we don't want is for our clients to get it done by beating themselves up, right? So it's not just about getting it done, but it's getting it done with self-love and self-care and self-compassion, and back to those old power structures that are not so helpful. Some people have internalized they're great at getting it done, but it's because they're just berating themselves into it. And so, I don't know, some coaches might say, oh, it's just our job to help get them done. But I don't think that's true. We really want to help them get it done with that self-love. Bruce.
That brought up for me, and I was thinking about this earlier, and I think it's also just like knowing your client too, but just the idea of just being and not being accountable, you That's know, right. Like we don't always have to get things done.
That's right.
And we do way too much. And sometimes just allowing and being and not, and just sitting with something is, for me, and I think sometimes for my clients, those that have, you know, I have a client now who's like, I always got A's. I always told that, you know, if I didn't get A's, I'd get punked, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, I gave him, and I'm sitting here thinking, because I gave him an assignment last week and I know he's doing it, but I'm thinking like, you know what? I want to really visit with him. Like, how was that for him? Like, and well, we'll see if he got it done, first of all, but how, if there was resistance to it or what came up for him, and then just like delving into that a little bit, like, yes, it's okay, yeah, to just be and flow with whatever comes up, and we don't have to do things.
I love that you're bringing this up, Bruce, because, our next training call is about supporting clients to be in the mystery and the not doing and the being, because that is also, this is one of the reasons why I'm such a student of the cycles, right? And why we have to honor the winter and the being and the resting as much as we honor the summer and the doing, all of it. So yeah, so that's going to follow this. And I'm so glad that that's coming up for you as we're looking at this, because it's true. It's not always a moment for getting things done and for accountability. Well, anyway, I can get really excited about that. I won't say anything more about that now. Okay, so before we wrap for today, and just as a reminder, I mentioned in the beginning, we're going to wrap a few minutes early today. If you feel like taking this on, I would really love to invite you to do this and to take it seriously, even if you haven't taken it seriously before, and work it. And if you've got a coaching partner in the program, work it with your coaching partner. Think about something that you would like to get done that you haven't been getting done. It might be a single action, like I really wanted to make that video for X, Y, and Z, or put my profile up on the dating app. Or it might be a recurring thing that you've been wanting to get going, like a meditation practice. Or this is my thing, remembering to put sunblock on, at least sometimes, if not every day. But whatever it is, take a few minutes over the next day or two and design an accountability plan for yourself on it for this week. Take into consideration all the different things we spoke about today. Don't put all of them into place, that'll be too overwhelming. But some different pieces, maybe you want an accountability buddy. Maybe it's something to do daily habits around. Maybe one day you want to work on deepening your desire around it, right? Whatever it is, maybe you want to bring in someone in your household to help you. Whatever it is, design an accountability plan and see if you can make some headway on it. Take some action, see how it goes. Sound good? All right. Well, as always, thank you all for all that you bring, whether I heard your voice or not. I'm excited to see how all of this evolves for you and in your client work. I'm around if there's anything you need. Just let me know. Bruce needs an accountability plan to create the accountability plan. I love it. I'm seeing Victoria on my screen right now, Bruce. I'm just saying, I don't know. And I'm just sending you all so much love. Let me know what you need, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.